Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
All right, welcome back. We have a lot of things. As a matter of fact, as the news and events kind of present themselves, it almost seems like it's imperative that we kind of go through more important things so that you understand the magnitude of how much we ignore the Constitution. And so before we get into any of that, we still need to get through the Tory Acts. And we've got a good body of work to still get through in the Tory Act. But this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is still the only show that will give you the academic evidence necessary to do what it takes to get the federal government into compliance. Now, if you understand, because lots of people realize that the corruption in the swamp has seeped everywhere. That's because the globalists, the Agenda 21, and a lot of the globalist initiatives have been far-reaching for a long time. When they were attacking the education system, that was well over a century ago. Well over a century ago. So what we're trying to do and what we need to do is kind of give you the full picture of, you know, through the marketing scheme, you know, going through the news and, you know, talking about what the heck's going on so that you can go, oh, crap, it ain't going to get any better. And no, what makes you think it's going to get any better without you doing something about it, right? You got, let's say you're a parent, and let's say your child's behavior is getting worse and worse and worse, and you're watching this incrementalism creep into your family's life. Well, what makes you think that your child's behavior is going to get any better by you doing nothing? What makes you think that our government's child, and if you understand our constitutional republic, our government, the government of we the people and the states of this republic, who created the general government, what makes you think that that child, the general government, is going to do anything differently or start behaving the way it's supposed to behave until we make it accountable and hold it to the framework of the Constitution? And if not, we don't get rid of the general government. We get rid of those people who are occupying the positions within the general government. They don't deserve to be there. If they can't abide, if they don't understand, they better get smart quick. You know, I don't know if you've ever been pulled over by a police officer, but I will say this, that if you go in front of a court, or even when you're sitting behind the wheel and you're talking to the police officer, I didn't know. How many times have you ever heard, ignorance of the law is no excuse? But we give our sovereigns, those people that we elect to govern us, all the excuses in the world because they didn't know. I'm sorry. It doesn't cut it anymore. And as a matter of fact, the conversation has to start moving forward. We have to start holding our public servants fully accountable. I had a real awesome conversation this past weekend with Alan Levy down in Florida. And he's working really hard and he's got a great process that he's implementing in just taking control of the employees of the party. Who's the employees of the party? Well, the employees of the party are your public servants. Do you believe that that person would be able to get elected, especially over 80% of the people that do get elected is because of their party affiliation? And then as soon as they get into office, oh, wide open. We can do anything we want to, like John McCain. I can be a communist and a Republican at the same time. Boy, I feel good about myself. Well, those days have to end. We have to take back the party, because the party by design and the way it's been operating is a laissez-faire organization. They have no accountability and so forth. So we'll get into some of that when we start unfolding that. But what we're going to get into today is we're going to finish up the Tory Acts. And after we're done with that, we will dive into the 14th Amendment in Section 3 specifically. So we'll read the entire 14th Amendment, and then we'll start really analyzing Section 3. The important part of this is understanding the oath, because that is the critical part in the 14th Amendment, because it talks about citizenship. And it talks about service and the oath of office. And one of the things, because of the news du jour, because of the way things have been going in the globalist agenda, even the way things have been going regarding President Trump and so forth, I feel it necessary to examine ex post facto laws and why we are protected from them and bills of attainder. So that you understand very specifically why the framers protected us from these types of things. Now, sometime in the next couple of weeks, we're also going to work our way into our first Thanksgiving. So I'm actually going to read our first Thanksgiving. It'll be the special program, and I'm going to rebroadcast it on Thanksgiving Day. So I would just ask that if you cannot find this Thanksgiving proclamation for reading to your family on Thanksgiving Day, then I would ask that you would tune in to Red State Talk Radio and have your family listen. And what we're going to do is we're going to go without any breaks until we get through the full reading of the proclamation from George Washington at the behest of a unanimous Congress. You know, Congress is not unanimous a lot, but in this particular case, it was unanimous. And it's interesting what we have done and how we've been manipulated into getting where we are regarding Thanksgiving. Now, I know lots of people like blaming all sorts of people, but it's time we just stop the blaming and actually just accept the fact that we've got to fix things instead of trying to find some scapegoat, stand up and fix these things. You know, the days of pointing fingers and blaming somebody else and just living with the problem's got to end, folks. It's just got to end. So with that, what we do want to do is I want to kind of get into a few things. But before I do, let me just at least point out that we do have our Red State Coffee supporter, or I should say sponsor, and we need you to help support our sponsor. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. We have the link right there to Red State Coffee. And what I would ask is that you try a little coffee and give us a call, 425-270-5416. Leave a message. We'll go through it, and I guess what I need to do is put that number up on the website, because if you're driving and you're listening to this, then you may not be able to write it down. So I know, I get it. You need help. I need a lot of help. Not just medical and psychiatric help, but I need a lot of help, especially when it comes to getting these things done. So if you want to get involved, if you want to support us, there's different ways you can do that. One way is actually supporting our sponsor. The second way is supporting our GoFundMe. That's a direct funding line into us. And the third way in supporting us would be supporting your legislative district, your county, whatever, and wherever there is needed support. I would ask you to ponder, to pray, to look at those who are representing you and ask yourself the real, honest question and conversation that you need to have with yourself to say, does this person truly represent us? And is this person, in representing us, do they have what it takes to step forward and demand that we start demanding compliance? In other words, is this person a leader, or is this person just another contributor to the problem? If you don't have any other answer other than that this person is a leader, then you need to step up as a leader and replace that person and run against them. We want to help you. We just had a conversation with a candidate that's running for state legislator next year in West Virginia. Now, I can tell you, West Virginia needs to get organized, and I've got a person that I'm specifically working with, but it's not on a regular basis. We need to start getting organized in your red states. If you live in a red state, if you live in a good, solid, or strong, and you know your state has its problems, and there is not one state, even the reddest of states, is complaining about their rhinos, it's complaining about, you know, wow, quit complaining. Yeah, things are going to get worse even if you don't do something about it. And I'm here to tell you that complaining is not doing something about it. You just become a part of the problem if you're not contributing to actually changing things. So, we need you to change things, but we also need you to stay tuned. We're going into two promos, and we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our Republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review, as well as my description of the republic review model, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in, and let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so one of the things that I really think is worth asserting or repeating is this concept about what the heck's going on in Hong Kong. Something very similar is happening in Taiwan. It may not be riotous protests and so forth, but the Taiwanese, those people are getting pretty concerned because they see no support in trying, if they tried or made an attempt to stand up against the Communist Party of China. We need to start sending a message to the big bullies. And as a matter of fact, the best way to do that message, and the big bullies being China and Russia. So we need to send a very clear message to them and their, what do you want to call that? Their front company, you know, it's like their facade, the UN. What we need to do is, I would love to see Trump actually get in front of a camera and actually just start railing on, you know, all of the just egregious crap that China is doing. And then point out, you know, just basically say, I'd like to talk to some people that are in charge over there in China and ask them why the heck they're not considering petitioning to become a state of the United States. What the heck's, what's the problem? What is the hang up? If you understand what Russia did with Cuba in basically going and destabilizing that and supporting, and as a matter of fact, unfortunately, it seems like we have been supporting all of these globalist objectives and supporting global communism. But what we need to do is we need to actually have that honest cry out to these people that are suffering and say, have an election. Call out, you know, your leadership and say, we don't want to be a part of the direction that you're taking us. We want to be a part of the United States. We want to be the 51st state. And let's see a rush to creating a 51st state. Now, don't get scared. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time. And I'm going to tell you that everybody that is living in China, I want you to understand this, in contrast to the folks to the south of us, those folks in China would look at this as such a humble, awesome opportunity in being able to learn English, learning our monetary, our laws, and those types of things, whatever is necessary. I'll bet you anything else. We would say, we'll give you 20 years. We'll give you 30 years to, you know, implement these changes. I will bet you that they will work at breakneck speed and they will be pushing us and pushing us to pull them in as a state of the United States. Therefore, when China wants to attack or try to bully the 51st state, if that's what they become, who knows? There's lots of states in the Union that are having, you know, their problems and trying to create, you know, split themselves into a new state, you know, like in Washington, Oregon. I mean, most places where you see communism prevailing within the states, and you hear me constantly, I am constantly asserting that what needs to happen is these states do need to split. I believe that every state needs to have a constitutional convention and redraft their state constitution. And in doing so, that has to be done by the counties, just like in the states, that each state, or in this particular case, each county gets one vote. If you don't understand the wisdom in this, this keeps the population center from dictating, you know, what is going to happen and how they become the king of the block in pushing everybody under their tyranny of democracy, because that's what's happening right now. So anyway, I would love to see, I'd just love to see Trump get out there and talk. When he, next time he opens his mouth about trade or anything regarding the Chinese, he'd say, you know what, I think it's a doable thing that Hong Kong makes a petition and asks to become a state in the United States. I think it's a doable thing for Taiwan to petition and ask to become a state in the United States. Crimea, same thing. Maybe even the Ukraine, maybe even some of, you know, Estonia, maybe even Chile. some of these states that are looking and loving and languishing the fact that they, you know, want liberty. They want to have individual liberty and enjoy individual sovereignty. I've talked to so many people over these things, and I've yet to meet, even a progressive wants their own sovereign. They want to be able to say what they want to say. And they expect you to be tolerant and to have to listen and accept what they have to say. And because you're not like-minded like them, then you need to hold your tongue. You don't get a chance to express yourself. They don't have any tolerance or any place for you. In other words, what they want to invoke is a world of hypocrisy where they can say whatever they want, but you can't because what you have to say is offensive. I'm not kidding. You understand. This is the direction that we are heading. These folks are ideologically wired that it doesn't matter what they need to do. The ends justify the means. Now, with the liberty-loving people, they just want you to get it. They're not going to force you to get it. They're not going to force these communists to get it, but they want you to get it. And that's one of the reasons why we're going through the Tory acts. Because even though as much as we want them to get it on their own, we don't want to compel them or force them, we cannot afford to allow the enemy to linger in our midst. We can't afford it. And when I say the enemy, I mean the enemy of individual liberty and the enemy of individual sovereignty and those folks who are working feverishly in trying to undermine our constitutional process of even doing it. Instead of trying to amend the Constitution to say, we are going to ban these types of words, this type of speech, they just want to be able to arbitrarily do what they want to do, and they want to change the Constitution from an enumerated Constitution to a general Constitution so that the government has all general powers necessary to compel you to do whatever they believe is best because they know better. They know more than you. At least that's how that's how they're wired and that's how they believe. So I would love to see Trump out there actually, you know, casting that, you know, that bait, you know, like fly fishing, you know, out on a big river. There you go. We're just trying to, you know, catch some of these things or troll. This actually isn't even trolling. But I truly believe that if Hong Kong got the nod to say, if you want to, we'll come in and we'll make sure China and the thugs are removed and we will be happy. Because bottom line, we believe in democracy, right? Or at least as the catalyst, the desires of the sovereigns, that the people are sovereign. And if they want a representative government that's modeled after the United States, where they have these individual inalienable rights and individual privileges and immunities that are guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution, then we owe it to them to become a state in the United States. I'm here to tell you that you will probably find China starting to go, oh my gosh, the genie is out of the bottle. Because what are they going to do? Are they going to actually go to war in killing the Hong Kong, the people of Hong Kong and the Taiwanese and anybody else that chooses to become a state of the United States? To be free? They may. But I'm going to tell you that's a losing battle. Because it will be known and seen and viewed by the world that China does not want people to be free, that China wants to compel them to everything and every whim that they have. That's the evil that China is. Same thing with Russia, the way they've been slowly and sneakily and incrementally, you know, invading Crimea, Ukraine, and so forth. Send the message. It's about time we start sending the message. And actually, it's about time we close the doors to the UN and say, you got to find another place. And you got to find somebody else that's going to fund you. Because we don't care if, you know, some globalist somewhere who bought politicians and got us on board and doing some of these things. We see you as a threat to our constitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers that each state in this republic, as well as the general government, possess by the desires of the people of this nation, by the desires of the people of this republic in maintaining. We have an obligation. We are duty bound in protecting and maintaining these things. So, well, we just ran out of another tidbit of time, and I apologize. I didn't even watch the clock there. I just kept on ranting. When we come back, we're going to have a couple of other things to say before we get into the Tory Acts. So this may linger a couple of shows or into the next episode. So forgive me, but we'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
One of the things that I really wanted to cover, because I think it's necessary, is the flack and the reactions that President Trump and his administration are doing. And I get the fact that he is under fire from the deep state in so many different things and ways and so forth. The problem is that he's going down the path of doing things that are, you know, absolute violations of the Constitution. And what I think is really important, even though I pointed out that these whistleblowers should not be indemnified, that if they come forward with false charges because they're ideological whistleblowers, these aren't people that are saying, hey, we're doing something really bad here. What these people are doing is they're just trying to find something that they can nitpick on over Trump. And Trump is getting desperate in reacting, and a lot of times, it seems to me like he just reacts first and then he realizes maybe he shouldn't have done that. What I have a problem with is the what they're doing and the path that they're going down in protecting himself and in protecting his administration. It's creating a bad precedence. And as far as I'm concerned, future precedents, or I should say future presidents, are going to try to use the same maneuvering because that's what they do. Oh, well, this precedence was set by so-and-so. And I don't like that. I believe that the president has one job and one job to do. The president is supposed to faithfully execute the laws of the Constitution, constitutional laws, and should not be executing. And as a matter of fact, if Trump wants to put the swamp on its ear, if he wants to turn these folks upside down and actually drain the swamp, he would be stumping in every state, going out and saying, look, we've got a real problem. The majority of everything that these guys are funding and the majority of everything that they're doing is unconstitutional. And I can't do anything about it. I can only faithfully execute those things that are constitutional and taking heat for all these things that they shouldn't be doing. I ask you, states, to step up and stand into the fray and literally force the federal government back into compliance with your constitution. Pretty simple. And if he does that, then he actually is leading in getting other leaders to join him in making America great. If not, then what he's doing is he's making America great for him, but not for our posterity. And so, unfortunately, I see these things and it just rubs me raw. It just bothers me that we have a president, one, that is being attacked in so many different ways, and two, that we have a president that is setting the stage for following presidents to do some pretty bad things. Now, let me dive into these Tory acts. One of the things that we were covering, and actually, as we do this, I'm going to give you a little background. What the first thing that they did was that they laid out this is what we're doing, kind of a statement to say, we believe there's been some misconceptions, misunderstandings, and we want to be clear. So we're making these recommendations and making these resolutions so that you can understand what's important here. And so I will take off into the second paragraph, and we're kind of a little over halfway through, and I will read the sentence. These are long sentences. Let me see here. Hold it. Is this whole paragraph that I read? That looks like an entire sentence. Okay, so I'm not going to read the precursor because that is, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. About 10, 11 lines in the paragraph, and that's one sentence. So that's what I love to do. I love to write like that so I don't have to use punctuations. But people have a hard time reading things like that. So anyway, let me just take off to where we left off, and I'm taking off it. And it is hereby recommended to all conventions and assemblies in these colonies. At this point in time, they were still referring to themselves as colonies because they had not taken the path of being independent states. The Declaration of Independence hadn't even been written, and they hadn't gone down the path of saying, we need a committee to declare our independence and put Thomas Jefferson on it. So anyway, in these colonies, liberally to distribute among the people the proceedings of this and the former Congress, the late speeches of the great patriots in both houses of Parliament relative to American grievances and such other pamphlets and papers as tend to elucidate the merits of the American cause. That was one sentence, and four lines. The Congress being fully persuaded that the more our right to the enjoyment of our antient liberties and privileges is examined, the more just and necessary our present opposition to ministerial tyranny will appear. And so they go on and say, and with respect to all such unworthy Americans, as regardless of their duty to their Creator, their country and their posterity have taken part with our oppressors and influenced by the hope of possession of ignominious rewards, strive to recommend themselves to the bounty of administration by misrepresenting and traducing the conduct and principles of the Friends of American Liberty and opposing every measure formed for its preservation and security. And so they get it kind of clear there. They are going after those unworthy Americans. And so resolve that it be recommended to the different assemblies, conventions, and committees or councils of safety in the United Colonies by the most speedy and effectual measures to frustrate the mischievous machinations and restrain the wicked practices of these men. And it is the opinion of this Congress that they ought to be disarmed and the more dangerous among them either kept in safe custody or bound with sufficient ties to their good behavior. And in order that the said assembly, conventions, committees, or councils of safety may be enabled with greater ease and facility to carry this resolution into execution. You see what they're saying? They're actually putting it out because by this point in time, due process wasn't even there. We weren't even, you know, in the ballpark of due process. What they were basically saying is, if you know that these people are friends and loyalists to the British Crown and have no, let's say, no affinity towards our independence and our liberties, then we need to do what's necessary and put them into safe bindings or actually haul them off into jail. Resolve that it be recommended to the different assemblies of safeties be able to, yeah, so resolve that they may be authorized to call to their aid whatever continental troops stationed in or near their respective colonies may be conveniently spared from their more immediate duty, and the commanding officers of such troops are hereby directed to afford the said assemblies, conventions, committees, or councils of safety all such assistance in executing this resolution as they may require, which, consistent with the good of the service, may be supplied. Now, so they were really drawing the line, and they had a full court press on putting these loyalists into, let's just say, into a state where they couldn't do harm to the colonists anymore. Arrest them, or at least, you know, seize them and put them in safe bindings or what have you. And they were actually calling upon the militias at that point in time, the colonies troops. And in regards to what they needed to do, they said, just, you know, hey, we're here to help because we know that these folks are enemies. I want you to put this into perspective. We are seeing people literally standing up, burning our flags, and it's one thing for political speech and the freedom of that, but it's another thing to demand and try to use tactics and measures of insurrection. Because if you understand insurrections, insurrection is viewed as treason. And what we have going on is there are people that are willing to do whatever it takes to destroy our constitutional system and our laws so that they can invoke their tyranny upon us. They want full general powers to be seized and to be leveraged against you and I. And so with that, I want you to think about that. as you look in your mind's eye and how you've seen Antifa and these communists, these people that are hand-fisted in the air, communists, calling for our deaths and the revolt and the takeover of this nation, and understand what the framers were doing. I mean, this is far more in our face today than it was then. And we'll be right back after this. Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective, or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue, to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history, so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic, as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Okay, so we're in the final stretch here, folks. We're on the last page. What's really interesting is that they don't hold any bones. And as a matter of fact, the evidence of these folks is a lot different than the evidence that we have, as far as their disdain for liberty, that the folks we're dealing with, the Antifa, the communists that are out of the street, demanding that we surrender our liberties. These kids that are marching for life, they're a part of the Bolshevik Revolution. The Bolshevik Revolution is coming because our education system has done all necessary to indoctrinate our children, our citizens, into believing that they can just surrender through a democracy process and move us in the direction. So that's why our Constitution was designed, that even Congress couldn't change the Constitution, what was constitutional and what wasn't. That's why it required 3/4 of the states. Before that, it was 100%. And Rhode Island was constantly perturbing the whole, rocking the whole boat and saying everybody was in agreement except for Rhode Island. And they wanted to make sure that there wasn't going to be that obstinate Rhode Island effect going on in the future. That's why they changed the requirement to 3/4. That if you can get 3/4 of the states in the Republic to agree that this is a good thing, then you have a change to the Constitution. But what these folks in the streets are doing is they want a change. Now, if you look at California, it is thumbing its nose at the Constitution, and it is going down the path that is putting the rest of the Republic at peril, because they want open borders. They're giving voting. They're actually allowing people who are illegal aliens to become public servants. How much more insurrection, how much more blatant hostility towards our Constitution can they express? And I'm asking you, why is it that we are not using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment and hauling every single one of them out of office and saying, folks, you guys got a problem. You have to replace your entire government. And oh, by the way, it has to be via the constitutional process. You cannot allow illegals, people who have violated our fundamental laws in trying to become citizens and moving here, and actually allowing them to become your public servants. So moving on, the Continental Congress then said, resolved that all detachments of Continental troops, each colony's militia, which may be ordered on the business in the aforegoing resolution mentioned, be, while so employed, under the direction and control of the assemblies, conventions, committees, or councils of safety aforesaid. In other words, he just said, or they just stated out to these organizations in the colonies to say, when the Continental troops are detached and sent into your aid, you have control of them. Resolved that it be recommended to all the United Colonies to aid each other on request from the respective assembly, conventions, committees, or councils of safety, and county committees. Interesting. County committees. Why? Because the county was, in essence, the seat of government within the republic. Just like a state is in the federal system, a county is the integral seat of government within an estate republic. On every emergency, going back into the resolution, on every emergency, and to cultivate, cherish, and increase the present happy and necessary union by a continual interchange of mutual good offices, and whereas the exercisable barbarity with which this, who uses words like this today? I wish we would. I wish we would use words like this. Anyway, with which this unhappy war has been conducted on the part of our enemies, as such burning our defenseless towns and villages, exposing their inhabitants without regard to sex, age, or to all the miseries which loss of property, the rigor of the season, and inhumane devastation can inflict, exciting domestic insurrections and murders, bribing the savages, the Indians, to desolate our frontiers, and casting such of us as the fortune of war has put into their power into gaols, and that's another word for jails, there to languish in irons and want, compelling the inhabitants of Boston, in violation of the treaty, to remain confined within the town, exposed to the insolence of the soldiery and other enormities, as the mention of which decency and humanity will forever blush, may justly provoke the inhabitants of these colonies to retaliation. So you got to understand that they're saying, hey, we are at war. We have been under siege. They're destroying our towns and villages, and they've actually put Boston at siege. They have completely trapped the inhabitants, and this is all barbarous types of behavior. This is all inhumane, and we have to do something about it. Resolved that it be recommended to them to continue mindful and that humanity ought to distinguish the brave, that cruelty should find no admission among a free people, and to take care that no page in the annals of America be stained by a recital of any action with injustice or Christianity may condemn, and to rest assured that whenever retaliation may be necessary or tend to the security, this Congress will undertake the disagreeable task. Resolved that the assemblies, conventions, and committees or councils of safety be requested forthwith to transmit to this Congress copies of all petitions, memorials, and remonstrances which have been by their respective colonies presented to the throne or either House of Parliament since the year of 1762, and that they also informed this Congress whether any and what answers were given to them. And so what we have here is they've drawn the line down and they've said, okay, we are under attack. And what we need you to do is we need you to go through and grab and remove any of the loyalists that are amongst you and put them into a safe harbor so that you can't be hurt and they can't divulge the secrets of the town. They can't understand or even hear them anymore. They wanted to actually say, okay, we've got to start cleaning house. Now, what this ended up doing was the Tory Act actually laid the groundwork so that after the war had completed, what they ended up doing was they took these loyalists, these folks, because unfortunately, they did not go after these folks like they should have. As I remember reading, and I think it was either McCullough, Chernow, or somebody else's biographies, that the Belvoirs were, I think they actually left to go to either New York or someplace because they were loyalists and they felt that they needed to be safe because the Tory acts really, you know, it was like a shot across the bow with these folks that realized, hey, you know, they realized that we're the enemy. Now I want to be clear that these were Englishmen fighting England for their Englishman rights. What we have today is a stark contrast. Antifa and the communists have completely absolved themselves from lovers of liberty, and they are portrayers and perpetrators, not patrons, but proprietors. They are the proprietors of subjugation. They believe that it is best for your own good that you be subjugated and that they have full control. I believe that we are in much further perils than what the framers were recognizing and seeing. You got to understand that this was kind of like family and family type of thing. And it's very similar today, but the ideologies back then were not 180, they were maybe 30 degrees or so. You know, the shifting away from being a subject to the king and being an individual sovereign, that was not a 180. It may have been a 30, like a 45 degree, a 90 degree, but it was not a 180 because they still believed that the individuals had, you know, individual rights. The Bill of Rights of England clarified that as a Englishman, you had God-given rights. And that came from the Magna Carta, and then it was galvanized in the Glorious Revolution in the English Bill of Rights. My friends, that is the Tory Act, and that is why we need to start looking in the perspective that the framers looked as we are dealing with the enemy within. This is G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.